Hey, it's Roy Richardson, the Tech Troll Maker, and I want to start the episode just a little different than I normally would. And why would I want to do that? Well, it's real simple. I'm going to cover potentially a controversial topic tonight, and it is not my job to try to get you to agree with me one way or the other. It's my job to get you to think. And what you do with it after that is completely up to you. And this episode is about digital apps that allow you to have, basically to store your vaccination information for COVID and for other vaccinations for that matter, in a digital app. That's all this is about. This isn't about whether you should get the vaccine or not. That is strictly your choice. And so, but I'm going to tell you my truth and what I did. And now, let's start the show.
The One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
Hey, it's Roy Richardson, the Tech Troll Maker, and tonight's episode, and this show, is the live version of the One-Off Technology Podcast. And so, if you're a podcast listener, this show is available wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it be Apple Music, or Spotify, or Google Play, or Amazon Music, or there's 10,000 different podcast things out there, and my podcast is out there. You can even get your Alexa device to play my podcast on TuneIn Radio, but let's just stop there. That's too much information. Let's get started with tonight's episode. Tonight, I'm going to talk about three things. First of all, I'm going to talk about the sudden emergence of digital apps that allow you to store whether or not you've been vaccinated for COVID-19. In fact, it will actually store, many of them will store your health records. So like, hey, did you get a tetanus shot? Or did you get any other shots? And so out there, all these apps are coming out. I have some concerns. And there are many states are doing some things that kind of say, maybe it's not time for them yet. So let's talk about that. Let's go. All right. So COVID vaccine record, digital vaccine record. That's the question. So I'm offering no health advice at all. This is a talk about technology involved in digital vaccination cards and not about vaccinations and whether you should do them or not. That's totally up to you. There truly is an app for everything, and now there is an app that if you want to store this information, it's there. And again, that's my disclaimer. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am vaccinated for COVID-19. I had the first shot and the booster. That was my personal choice. I travel periodically out of the country and around the country here. And I was concerned about medical care options in other countries outside the U.S., so I kind of wondered if there was a possible way that this gave me an advantage to stay healthy and to stay out of a hospital or to have to seek medical care somewhere else. Then this is what I did. And my parents are older, and I didn't want to do anything that impacted their health in any way. So these are things that I did. But I'm also going to tell you, I had COVID-19. Funny enough, as they talk about a breakthrough episode. So I had been vaccinated then. About 8 months later, about 6 months later, I did catch COVID. Luckily for me, it was very minor. For others I know, it was pretty serious, even though they had been vaccinated. But my opinion, strictly no medical advice involved, it could have been worse if they hadn't been vaccinated in their particular case because they had some pre-existing health conditions. So there you go. All right. Now, many events of traveling requiring proof of vaccination or negative test, app makers are making apps to keep track of your vaccine card. What apps can you trust and which apps protect your privacy? I think you're going to find the jury's still out. Let's talk about that. So here's why you might want to. Again, you might be traveling out of the country. You might be going to a live event that requires proof of vaccination. Or you may want to let healthcare providers that, you know, maybe you're out of state, you're not at your normal doctor, and you want to let them know, yeah, by the way, I have been vaccinated in case they don't have access to your medical records. Okay, now here's just some sample apps. There are tons of apps right now. Actually, Clear probably is the front runner because it has a reputation. If you're familiar with the Clear app, it also can be used by the TSA to go through the airport more quickly. So it means you've already been pre-screened and you know you don't have to go through the usual checks when you go through the airport because you've already been pre-screened. And now they've jumped into the app space for doing healthcare records and vaccine records. But I have some concerns about that one. There's Bindle. There's also QR card.app. This is a website that's mobile friendly that will create you a QR code that has all the information. So if you need to get that scanned, and again, we'll get into this. So here's what the Clear app, you know, if you go into the Apple App Store, this is what it looks like. It actually looks almost just like this on the Android App Store as well. And, you know, with this, it has a health pass, which they say is a safer way. I would say from the standpoint of security, the Clear app is a very good app. The downside to the Clear app is that as part of that process of adding your vaccination and other health records, it actually does facial recognition on you, and it keeps that information. While it says that it protects that information, my concern is, why do you need that information? A picture's good enough. Why do you need facial recognition? So I do ask my concerns. The EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is all about free speech and that type of thing, suggests not using this app right now because of those privacy concerns. It, you know, I just heard recently people were going to a concert, and in order to go to the concert, they had to either have the paper shot record or to show they'd had a COVID vaccine, or they had to show a negative test, or they had to have this Clear app in order to get into the concert. And literally they made it so that the people that had the Clear app were getting in very quickly. So, you know, you just got to think, what kind of privacy do I have to give up in order to be able to go to concerts and that type of thing? On the flip side, I definitely want the crowd as safe as possible. I just don't want to give up my privacy as part of that. I don't have a problem with where I show, hey, I've been vaccinated. I don't have a problem with that, or I don't mind. Here's a negative test to prove that, yep, I don't have COVID today. I don't have any problem with that. But the concern, again, is about these requirements. There is no mandate. As you know, you may know in the United States, healthcare is very decentralized, very deregulated. And so there's no central authority to say that this app or another is the right app to use. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So AirSide also is another app. This one's recognized by a lot of airlines as their app of choice. It will let you have your passport in here, your driver's license, your COVID vaccination. This one's well respected, and several airlines kind of recommend it in addition to the Clear app. So if you fly a lot, yeah, that may be something to think about. Bindle has an app, and they make a lot of promises about protecting your data, which is something that Clear says, well, yeah, we protect your data, but they don't get real definite about that. So the Bindle app is saying, well, we do a lot better job. We're a true digital wallet, so to speak. Again, I have not used this app, so I cannot recommend it yet. Then here's just some information about what the Bindle app does. It's a secure wallet for health records and other information. And then the MyQRCard.app. This is a mobile site, but also it works on a normal web browser as well, where you can put in all your information, and it will create you a card, a QR code that can be scanned by authorities or wherever you're going to show. But the issue here is that because there's no standardization on the apps, and there's no standard, you know, group saying this app or that app is the right app to use, you don't know if the venue you're going to is going to accept it. You know, and then definitely when it comes to security in airports, you know, as far as getting scanned, man, I accept it. But this is kind of an example of what it does. You can take a picture of your actual vaccine card. You take your own picture. You self-designate all the information other than the actual vaccine card to talk about that. You can even show a negative test. Hey, you negative tested for COVID. You don't have it. And so, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you can do now. But there is standards forming. So there's digital health record standards that are forming. If you go to smarthealth.cards, They will talk about the standards, and organizations and states are adopting these standards. And so it is conceivable there will be an overall standard for these health apps to use. And so it could be that you can get an app from multiple vendors, but they are following the same standard, and therefore you don't have to be concerned about getting somewhere and find out, well, that's not the app we take, or, you know, it's still forming. It's kind of like we're making a cake here, but we don't have all the ingredients yet. And this is just an example, talk about what this, you know, the smart health cards or paper digital versions of clinical information. Many electronic health record systems currently have adopted this. For example, Epic is one of the medical record companies that have adopted it. So it could be here. You see this a lot sooner. You may be, you know, for example, I'm half familiar with Epic, and they have a MyChart app. And so depending on the hospital system, if they've enabled this feature, then you can show, hey, here's a QR code, and then whatever venue or at the airport to go with their security, you can show them that, and it'll give them that information. But yep, this person's been vaccinated. This is when it happened. And, you know, yeah, it's very helpful. And then Apple says, hey, we want to get in that game too. So Apple is providing a way, if you have iOS version 15.1 or higher, as I'm recording this, and you can conceivably import your vaccine card into Apple Health. Now, here are the instructions, and I will post the links of this, all this stuff in the show notes on YouTube, as well as on the podcast website, which is faithintech.com. And I will have all these links out there. So you don't have to go, oh, I got to write that link down, Roy. I got to write that down. No, I'm not trying to be difficult. I promise I'll give you the links, and then you two can go out and read that information yourself and say, okay, that's what I got to do. Okay. And then Google also has a methodology as well. They're using the Google Pay app, which seems a little crazy, but it is their digital wallet on Android devices. And yeah, that's a lot of writing. But anyway, you do have to have Android 5 or higher, which that's a really old version. But anyway, and you have to have, you know, Play Protect certified, the device that you're on. Samsung devices are Play Protect certified. There are other, of course, the Pixel devices by Google would, of course, be. And this talks you through the whole process. Theirs is a little less convoluted, but yet the instructions are a lot more. So Apple simplified the instructions, but made the process hard. And Google made the process easy, but made the instructions very complicated. Remember, Google is a bunch of engineers, and so they have to write things in a complicated way. That's just the Google way. They're awesome, but they can't make it simple. All right. Now, state governments are on both sides of this. So you've got some states that have already banned digital vaccination records, at least from public entities. So therefore, they can support it, but they can't mandate it. And as I said, it may be too early to pick what app is the safe bet. It just feels too early. Yeah. So anyway, if you're watching a replay, tell us in the comments why you think a digital vaccine app is a good idea or not. You know, just feel free, drop it off in the comments. Let me know. Yep, I think the digital vaccine app is a great idea, or I think this is a bad idea. Tell me in the comments why you think that if you're watching this on replay. Now, let's go out and see who's come by to see us. Melanie. Hey, Melanie. How are you doing tonight? So, Melanie came by. She says there truly is an app for everything. And that is so true. There really is an app for everything. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah. So, she went to a concert recently, and she had to prove that she either was had a negative test for COVID or that she had been vaccinated. So, yeah, but it was super quick getting through showing the vaccine card. So yeah, it all depends on the venue. It really depends on the concert. It also depends on the artist. Some artists absolutely saying we will not go on if everybody doesn't certify they've been vaccinated or that they've had a negative test. And then there's some artists who have made a stance and said, look, we're not mandating vaccinations, and therefore, you know, people can make their own choices. And again, that's everybody's choice to make that. So, and there's my wife saying hi. Hey. Going back to And so that's how, that is the whole process of digital apps that are using the app. Don't you love it when your tongue says, I can't talk right now. I really can't. I don't know what you're talking about. You need to stop right now. But deep breath, focus, bumblebee tuna, a little meditation there. So anyway, the point being is that digital apps are coming for doing vaccination records, and there is a big benefit to, I think, to having healthcare apps that are highly secure, that are locking down your information, so that in the event, let's say for example, I'm traveling, I'm at a hospital system, I'm at a doctor that needs to know everything I'm allergic to, okay, here, my app, I have to look, I have to use Face ID, or I have to type in my PIN code, or I have to use my fingerprint, something that protects those apps from being able to show your information. And so, yeah, I think that time is coming where that's going to be a good thing. But I need it to be highly secure. I need to know it's going to protect my privacy. It's the same thing with, it's HIPAA data. When you think about it, you know, healthcare professionals have to be very careful who data is released to. Here, in, you know, they have to have you sign a release that says, yes, you can share my health records with my fourth cousin twice removed that's kin to my Aunt Mabel. It's okay to tell them my health records. But, you know, if you didn't sign a form that said that, even your significant other could not find out that information, which don't keep information from your significant other. It's all about trust, y'all. It's all about trust. And so, yes, that's where we are here. We're on the verge of another shift in thought and in our, you know, basically the journey on how we stay and maintain our privacy. So we'll just have to see what happens there, won't we? It's going to be okay. I'm pretty sure of it. I'm sure it's going to be okay. Now, my next two stories I want to talk about tonight, and they are Microsoft hates other browsers. So in Windows 11, first of all, Microsoft makes it very hard to make another browser the default. And in the next version of Windows 11, the next update that comes out, Microsoft is actually going to make it where the search box down by the start button in Windows 11, well, actually in Windows 11, it's up above everything. So the search box at the top, I should have done a screenshot of my Windows 11. But anyway, you won't be able to use any other browser search functionality there. It will all go to Bing. And how many have had success finding anything useful on Bing? I mean, when I think of Bing, I think of Chandler Bing from Friends. But I'm a fan of Friends. But I'm not a friend of Microsoft Bing. I'm not friends of Microsoft Bing. Microsoft Bing is not my favorite search engine. But anyway, I think it's not right. And, you know, there's been some apps that came out that actually tried to redirect that search box so that it used your favorite web browser to do a search for you so that when you did a search there, it showed up. But Microsoft's going to stop that in the next update to Microsoft Windows 11. So, yeah, Microsoft's not a monopoly at all. I mean, really, it's not. Of course, neither is Chrome, which is used on 80-something percent of all computers. And so this is Microsoft Windows 11 taking their opportunity to try to push Chrome out just a little bit more. It makes me sad. Next up, this is in the news. That's my final story for tonight since I went on so long about digital apps. Call of Duty Vanguard finally makes good on a promise. So a long time ago, make that 15 years ago, Call of Duty, a guy who went by the moniker of Nomad, created a, basically, you know, an accessibility for the, you know, controls. He made some suggestions on ways to make the game more accessible for people that are handicapped. And then he said, all exchanges, hey, just put my name in the credits. Well, Activision was controlling the company that made Call of Duty, and it never happened. And all these years later, the company that's currently developed the latest version of Call of Duty, Vanguard, finally put Randy's name in the credits as Nomad, showing that he indeed, and they did some research, they were like, where did these Nomad controls come from? Because the accessibility options were actually named after him, or at least his character that he uses online. And so I thought, man, that is a really cool story that they finally put 15 years. And so they actually offered him money and said, hey, you know, we feel bad. Do you want us to pay you for creating, you know, the accessibility controls that are so helpful to so many people that are handicapped that really want to be able to play Call of Duty? And he said, no, I just still want my name in the credits. So recently they gave him a free copy of the newest game and they said, be sure you watch the credits. And there it was, his name in the credits. And so, yeah, cool when good things happen to people and the people get rewarded for what they did. And so that's the story I want to end on. I want to end on a positive, happy, feel-good story. And I hope that you are having a great, great week. And I hope that the rest of your week is great. This is a One-Off Technology Podcast Live. And so that was our episode tonight. Everybody, thank you so much for coming by. Here's my behind-the-scenes camera. Hey! And that's it. That's our show for tonight. I am calling it. You guys have a great evening, great week. Thanks for watching. Bye. Bye. Bye.
This is the One Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson.
Bye.
Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.